said that. Took him a while, and she's like, this is a really strange. Took me to the dentist, and the hospital, and she did. But I'm generally, she lived with me. Okay, listen.
I remember, I worked at Livingston. Before they built the new chapel, it's not new anymore, but.
I had the impression that you went to this one.
Busy. I'm a witness. But I gotta start making time for myself. If you don't make it, how am I gonna get it to you? Okay? My daughters, I tell them all the time, my dad, you gotta. Yeah, you're right. Absolutely.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Mayor's not coming. No, Mayor's not going to be here. Okay. He's at another meeting.
Oh, I just saw him walk by this morning.
Yeah, he's at a meeting.
Mr. Rush, I think we can get something started.
Chairman, I said that you want to proceed with the agenda. I know Ms. McDonough sent an email out earlier indicating that I guess she has another matter tonight that has to testify, and he was hoping to go first, and again, he was leaving up to your call. Okay. So,
I'm willing to accommodate him.
However, you want to proceed, that's up to you. Mm-hmm.
Thank you. Welcome everybody. I'd like to welcome you to September 18th, 2025 Planning Board meeting. Roll call.
Commissioner Riley?
Present.
Commissioner Insera? Commissioner Itling?
Here.
Commissioner Londono? Commissioner Orama?
Here.
Council Member Santana? Here. Commissioner Vizioli?
Here.
Vice Chair Mueller is excused, and Chairman Rivera?
Would everyone please stand for the Pledge of Allegiance?
Pledge of Allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
This meeting is being held in accordance with the Open Public Meetings Act, also known as the Sunshine Law, NJSA 10, column 4-6. Notice of the 2025 meeting schedule was sent to the Daily Record and published in the Daily Record on February 3, 2025. The annual meeting list was also posted on the Municipal Bulletin Board in Town Hall, on the Town of Dover website, and submitted to the Town Clerk. As a reminder, there is no smoking in this building. There are two exits in case of emergency, and this meeting is not streaming on Facebook Live. However, the audio will be posted in a timely manner to the town website.
Thank you. shuffle the meeting a little bit because we have some deadlines to meet. We'll go to new business, and we have a professional planner going to talk about the Bassett Highway redevelopment and a few other things.
Yes, I do. Sure. Hi there, everyone. My name is John McDonough, and I am the town planner.
Thank you.
Greetings, board. Greetings, Mr. Chairman. It's good to be here.
Good to have you.
Take it away, Bill.
Of course.
Okay. So we're here looking for the board to move on actually four redevelopment plans, all of which have been designated an area of redevelopment. By this board, they're all central around the Bassett Highway area, which is certainly locally familiar to the board. I thought what I would do is take you through a little four-sheet exhibit to show you the whole thing as a bundle. We can certainly dive deeper into any one of the plans. They're all about 40 pages each. So I thought this little packet that I have here, which is really a composite of what you have before you in terms of the four plans that are before you, but I think they'll give you a nice overview of what the municipality and the planning department is looking to achieve here. So the first sheet, you're going to see a redevelopment plan known for the public realm of the Bassett Highway area. This encompasses multiple lots. It's over 44 lots here. And this first plan is what we call an overarching public realm plan, to take this large and important piece of land within the community that has become stagnant and certainly is in need of redevelopment as designated by this board not too long ago. You can see on the first page there, one of the key aspects of the plan is to close off public roads and to provide a unifying element for seasonal activities and again to revitalize the area. What we've done with this plan is a few things. Number one, it's an overarching plan for the public realm improvements in the Bassett Highway area. Essentially, this pertains to everything except for the use and bulk controls, which you'll see in little sub-districts. This is everything that's going to be in the public realm, the streets, the sidewalks, and other key public elements as well. As we go through these individual sub-districts, which have their own unique and distinct characteristic, the unifying element are going to be these public realm improvements with an emphasis on design, an emphasis on high quality as well, to essentially make this a sense of place or a special place in the community. So we're going to identify key public realm features. We've got design standards that are cooked into this redevelopment plan as well. There are seven sub-districts that we've carved out. We're going to hear about three of those districts tonight as part of separate redevelopment plans. The others have not yet manifested, so we're going to wait for them to come in, and you'll hear more about those as, I'll say, interested parties, redevelopers start to come in. Each one of these sub-districts will be established as separate redevelopment plans. Again, we've got three this evening. They're going to establish the use, the bulk, and the individual parameters, the parking within each sub-district. Now, the key public realm improvements that you're going to see in this particular plan, and we've provided a lot of pictures in there to give the board a sense of what we're looking for. Number one, along the Rockaway River, we're going to introduce a public realm improvement that will feature a river walk that will be accessible to the public, a beautiful feature that will celebrate the land. We've put visuals within the redevelopment plan as well to give you a sense of what that's going to be look like. A passive, peaceful environment, again, to celebrate this great natural resource that's right here in the center of the community. Next, we're looking at that seasonal public plaza, which you get a sense of in the cover sheet. With road closures, we'll enable seasonal activities as well. No cars, but we can have fairs and people, retail, crafts, and the like, celebrating the streetscape. Next will be a municipal complex and a civic square. Somewhere within this Bassett Highway area, we are targeting a new municipal building and a civic square as well. So again, those features are not yet finalized, but it is a key component to create a new modern civic square within this Bassett Highway area. Also, an art mural over on Blackwell where you have the road elevated. There's a large blank wall. We're looking to create a feature there that will be reflective of historic Dover. So pulling the arts in as well is certainly a component of the public realm. Where you have, of course, the rail line that's cutting through the heart of the downtown. We're looking for rails to trails conversion that would connect with the Riverwalk as well. So there'd be a nice pedestrian link through along the river and through the downtown. We've got components related to vehicular circulation and pedestrian mobility elements, pedestrian heads for safe walking at the key intersections here within the Bassett Highway, calling out special pavers at the intersections as well to designate those key intersections in this particular area. And again, we've given you many examples with pictures in that plan. You've got streetscape improvements that include sidewalks, street trees, and lighting, and then other sense of place elements, including street furnishings, banners, and planters that all will celebrate this area as a central place. Again, the key aspect here is to unify what you're going to see next as individual plans with linkages or common elements within the Bassett Highway area. We've got other unifying elements in terms of design standards. You're looking at building design that will emphasize high quality, durable materials, and every project that comes before this board as a requirement of this particular plan will be that you have colorized renderings so you know what you're approving in a third dimension as they come in. Emphasis on storefront design with glazing and color palettes and, of course, context sensitivity to the unique and distinct characteristic of the downtown and the surrounding area as well. Again, streetscape design elements, landscape architecture, signage, and the like. And then also, last but not least, environmental sustainability and resiliency features as well, flood-prone areas, green design, incorporating all of those new modern planning principles into this one plan here. That's the first plan we're going to ask you to move on. I can certainly go into each one of the individual pages if you want to see more or if you have any questions for clarification. But that's
just for the board's education here on this. Basically, since we're only reviewing this for master plan consistency, maybe you as a professional planner and as a board planner could give your professional opinion as to why you believe this plan is consistent with master plan.
And that's really the only action we're asking the board to look at. I was going to actually do that last after I went through the other three.
Okay, so do you want to do these all as one package?
Well, we can certainly act on them individually. I think three, four separate resolutions would be the way to go. But you're going to see the master plan consistency bullets or blanket bullets or justifications for master plan consistency. Okay. So I'll just keep rolling, and then we can come back to the master plan. And if you have trouble with any one of these plans and a linkage with the master plan consistency, just let me know. And again, this is an overview, just trying to give you a sense of what's in the lengthy plans that we've given you. So Steve, if you go two slides over. So next we've got one of the first sub-districts within the plan is Subdistrict A, and this is going to be one of the centerpieces within the plan. It looks like this. You probably have it in your packet. 63-105 Bassett Highway. Again, this will be a separate plan that we're asking the board to move on, and this is going to be one of those individual plans within the context of the overall plan that I just gave you. You get a sense on the cover sheet of what we're looking for here in terms of a vision. Again, high quality, emphasis on brick and aesthetic materials, and what clearly is going to be an attractive building, context sensitive and also sensitive to the historic fabric of the community as well. This subdistrict, Subdistrict A within the Bassett Highway Redevelopment Plan, pertains to a single lot. It's block 1201, lot number 6. It's about 9.3 acres, just under 9.5 acres. It was the former Dover Shopping Center. You've got some older buildings there now. You've got the large parking lot that's there now, the expansive pavement that goes right up to the river. So there's no edge there now. We're going to create that nice edge with the Riverwalk. In terms of use regulations, you remember we were just here a couple months ago for your fair share and fair share plan and housing element, where the community has an obligation to provide a certain number of affordable units. This particular plan, as one of the primary required use aspects, is affordable housing that will be consistent with our 2025 housing element and fair share plan. Also allowed here would be multifamily residential, commercial and retail uses, so you've got that mixed component. You've got a public park, open space. This is the site where that river walk would go. And then civic and cultural uses as well. Bulk regulations will establish minimum commercial space obligations, establish minimal affordable set-aside obligations. We've got a cap on the maximum number of units. We have a allowance for phasing in here, given the scale of the project. We've established maximum building coverage and lot coverage controls. We've established minimum parking requirements, including ADA and EV, electric vehicle requirements as well. Again, there's a phasing parameter up to five phases here. We put requirements in terms of the number of one bedrooms and the number of two bedrooms in terms of percentages. And then lastly, we have this blanket cross-reference to everything I just told you about in the overarching plan in terms of the public realm, the streetscape improvements, the furnishings, the trees, all of that comes back. And that's going to be a consistent theme that you'll see with each one of these plans. So again, Subdistrict A, that's a visual representation of what the applicant is looking to do. It's not in a neighborhood per se. It's effectively creating a neighborhood. And the parameters that we've laid out here, we think would create a nice sense of place, a nice feature right up against the water. And we think it's good planning to put people along our important natural resources to celebrate them. And, of course, you've got the transit-oriented development and mixed-use aspect as well, which is spot on with good planning principles. Steve, if you go to the next redevelopment plan, number three in our packet here would be what we're calling the West Blackwell and Dewey Street redevelopment plan. This is Subdistrict C within the Bassett Highway redevelopment plan. And in your packets, it'll be the one that looks a little like this, very similar to the last building that you saw, and locally familiar as the site of the former Hi-Li restaurant at that corner there. Right across the street is where that elevated retaining wall would be. That's where we're looking for that art feature to celebrate historic Dover. So that would be right on the opposite side here. This is on the corner of Dewey and Blackwell, and it's four tax lots, block 1205, lot 4, lot 5, lot 6, and lot number 7. And that site is about a quarter of an acre. The plan vision here is for renovation. We're not looking to take down the building that's there. Certainly has a nice fabric to it, good bones. Some expansion with an allowance for a story or two above what's there now. And then, of course, adaptive reuse and renovation for multifamily residential, for commercial uses, establishing a nice retail line on the base, shared workspace, and the potential for civic or cultural uses as well. In terms of the bulk regulations, we establish a cap there. I think we've capped that one off at five stories with a potential sixth story for amenities on the top. We've established minimum unit sizes. And again, like all of these plans, there comes a cross-reference back to that public realm plan in terms of streetscape and overall public improvements. So again, that's Subdistrict C, which is a smaller subdistrict compared to Subdistrict A that we just talked about. And then lastly, Steve, we're going to look at what we're calling Subdistrict G within the best.
Question before you
oh, sorry, Bill. It's a combination of where it's located, the fact that it's adaptive reuse of an existing building, which does not have parking in it now at the base. So there are practical difficulties in terms of imposing parking. And it's also right there in the downtown, so it's a walkable area as well. So not imposing parking on a building that's already there we think is reasonable and appropriate, especially in a downtown situation.
It's already there, but you're also expanding.
Yeah. Going up two more floors, right?
We are going up two more, yes. Yes. And the board can certainly raise that as a concern to the governing body.
I actually grew up in that building. 75 West Blackwell Street was my dad's building.
You ate some good food along your way.
And when you say it is structurally sound, I remember those floors were like this.
Oh, but, really?
It was my dad's building.
Okay.
That building is horrible. And not too long ago, it caught fire.
Okay.
So when you say structurally sound, I mean... I don't want to laugh, but I know the building.
And I'm not going to dispute it. We have an interested party here who is looking to redevelop this site and is not looking to take down the building that's
there. There was definitely no parking space for the apartments that were there. So if you're going to expand without parking spaces, that's going to be a problem.
I think that's, Bill, I think that's certainly something that the board can make as a recommendation to council to consider that. Because this has gone through first reading. It still has to go through second reading with council, and the board can certainly.
Yeah.
Yes. You're going to see something very similar, Bill, with this one as well, this last one here. This is the Newberry building. This is going to be Subdistrict G within the Bassett Highway Plan. Two tax lots. We all know the historic building. Again, Block 1207, lots 1 and 2. Here, this is about twice the size of what we have over at, I'll call it the Highlight Building, about half an acre. Locally familiar as the Newberry building, which I just drove by it now, still boarded up out there, but they are doing some renovation. The intent here, the vision is for preservation, keeping what's there, in collaboration with the Historic Commission, renovation and adaptive reuse. Not looking for a living space here per se, but the main focal point is to convert this to some type of a multi-purpose marketplace, maybe a combination of some event space, a commissary, an area for teaching or training kitchen, potential cooks, co-working space as well. So somewhat of a different or novel concept, looking to take advantage of the spatial capacity that's there now, not converting it to apartments, but something that we think is somewhat unique and novel. And again, we were approached about this, and from a policy standpoint, that it was looked upon as favorable. Bulk regulations, we applied no bulk regulations here because we're looking at an existing building that we're not looking to go up, unlike the other one. We're not looking to go out. We're just looking to rehab the building that's there and do the internal gut rehab as well. There are building design standards for rehabilitation, there's signage standards, and of course, I think all of these are going to be subject to Historic Commission review as well. Lastly, there is that link with the public realm as well. So you're going to see that in every one of these sub-districts that come before you. So while they'll have their own individual requirements, the public realm requirements will be consistent for all of them. Lastly, we look at the master plan consistency. We looked at the goals and objectives of the 2007 master plan, the 2018 master plan reexamination report, and the goals that would be advanced by all of these redevelopment plans. We think there's a common thread in every one of them, and we've put this language in all four of the plans that we're looking for the board to move on. Number one, enhance and create a sense of place that encourages economic vitality and community activity through well-designed land development. Number two, maximize potential for expansion of the economic base. Number three, develop a safe and efficient circulation system that capitalizes on Dover's multimodal transportation system. Number four, maintain and encourage diversity in the type and character of available housing, promoting an opportunity for varied residential communities. Number five, increase available housing options for pre-retirement, retirement, and elderly residents. Number six, preservation and continued use of properties of historic significance to the town of Dover and its rich history. So really the primary action, we're asking the board to move on for each one of these plans. I would think we could take a vote on each one of them individually, is that they are substantially consistent with the master plan. And you can certainly put qualifiers in there as well in terms of your recommendations to the board. Mr. Chairman, that's all I have on the overview. I know we have every one of the plans on the screen that we can call up any page or line if any of the board members have any questions.
Well, I say let's address Bartle's Fellows Building, and that could be the first one we want to talk about, and maybe agree or disagree.
And I guess, am I correct, maybe you want to see some sort of structural assessment to assure that the building can be adaptively reused?
Yeah. The building I know is not structurally sound. You can't play marbles on any floor. Okay? And not only that, it caught fire not too long ago. And this picture here is kind of deceiving. You know why? Because I used to play handball on that bridge. And this makes it look like it's a huge space in front of it, but it's really what? Like, Bill, you know, 30 feet maybe?
Yeah.
From the, not even. So if I look at this picture, I say, wow, that's huge.
Yeah. And again, the thing we're getting away from what the purpose of tonight is. The purpose of tonight is just to find out if the plan is, if the proposal is consistent with the master plan. And again, any concerns with the building, then that would go to like a construction department before a CO would be issued, before the building.
Well, I have a problem with the building itself, because I know the building personally. Then after the fire, I don't know much, but I can imagine it's worse. It's not big in like the picture shows here, and we definitely need parking, because even without all the extra stuff that you're going to build, there's a hard time getting parking there now.
I mean, I'm sure they're going to go through all kinds of structural reviews and stuff like that, structural engineers and architects, to assess that building to see if there's any upgrades that need to be made to it, obviously, before they decide to go up a story or two in order to, you know, put comedies.
And they're going to have to blend some parking into that building. There has to be.
So that's a concern.
I know we're looking to redevelop all these areas, right? And some of the existing parking lots, like behind the big one behind us and stuff over here, across the street here. You know, I can see like with these projects bringing a lot of people to Dover, you know, and especially like the Newberry building is going to bring a lot of people to Dover, and these shops and visitors as well, people that want to come to Dover and spend a day here, or spend a stay here for dinner and stuff like that. Is the town looking to maybe look at a future parking garage in the area somewhere that may accommodate additional people that may be coming to Dover?
That is a fantastic comment that may be certainly evaluated on a policy level. One of the zoning techniques that this board can make a recommendation, we sometimes refer to it in the acronym of a PILIP, not a pilot, which is usually what you associate with financial incentive. PILIP is a payment in lieu of parking. So in lieu of parking, there's some sort of a contribution, and that can be spelled out, and the board can certainly make that recommendation as well, that if there's not parking being put into the plan, that there's a payment in lieu of, that will go towards the construction of a future deck. And those numbers are something that should be discussed on a policy level. But PILIP, payment in lieu of parking, is a tool. Is a tool that is I see out there a lot.
I mean, if you see like Morristown and how that's been redeveloped, and over the years there's been parking garages installed there for people that want to come and go to the restaurants and go visit sure. people that live there and stuff like that. And you know, I think at some point we got to take a look at that, because I think we're going to need that someday. Or, you know, if you're going to bring people into Dover to help support these businesses and these new businesses that are coming in and the redevelopment of the Newberry Building and stuff like that, we need a place to park. Especially when the parking in our current parking lot is being redeveloped.
I think it's a good comment that the board can make. I will tell you on the original draft that I had of this, it was parking in that plan. It was, I'll say, internal pushback on having parking here. But the board can certainly counter that. Certainly, that's a planning concern for sure.
Now, is that something that we would be recommending? Because what's going to happen is if the board finds that these plans are consistent with master plan, then I write a letter to the governing body indicating that the board found the consistency. But I can also put in with certain recommendations. Is it a recommendation for additional parking or, as John said, pileups to be done with every plan, or are we just kind of...
And right, the sub-district A, the large one that I gave you, did have parking built into that. There's going to be parking on that site. This particular site, which is a small site, an existing building, maybe it comes down. I don't know. I think that's certainly something that the board can raise. If the building comes down, maybe the potential is there to put parking in. But I think you could also maybe say something to the effect that the board recommends that parking options be explored. Then it's a little bit more open-ended, either on-site, off-site, a pilot, you know.
I said that the board is concerned that
the board's concerned about the lack of
parking. Lack sufficient parking for the purpose for which it's being proposed. And for that purpose, the board recommends that the governing body look into or explore, like you said, other park, either
other options.
Parking or other options for parking.
Yeah,
right.
Right,
on-site, off-site, or payment in lieu,
right.
or any other planning tools.
So I have a question. In all the redevelopment and in the master plan, is there anything that talks about, you know, I'll just describe the fact that we'll be bringing a lot of people into town, some will live here, have families, and infrastructure, right? We talk about infrastructure and, you know, developing of school systems and taking care of all these things that are, if they built new buildings, it's going to bring people. And it's just, I haven't heard anything about anything like that, but I think it's important that it's talked about and brought into part of the master plan, because it's, you know, it's the whole town, and it's, I think it's important.
It is going to put a lot of people around the train station, for sure. In that one development, there could be 1,000 people. There could be 1,000 people living in Sub-District A alone.
Yeah.
Mr. Chairman, if I may, as we all know, there's areas that are in need of redevelopment. Question comes to mind, how do these four plans interact with the Highlands Act or not?
Good question. I think this would be favored within the Highlands because we're working within the confines of lands that are already developed. This is not developing on the fringe. This is creating more green space against natural resources such as that river. So I don't see this as being contrary to the Highlands, and we can check to see if this has to go in for any Highlands consistency.
You do that.
Okay. I think it's a good planning recommendation from the planning board for sure.
The concern is going to be four different individual letters. I'll include it in every letter. Basically, just to address the reinstate the board's concern as to the lack of parking that's been proposed with the redevelopment plan.
Yeah, again, the highlight is the one that doesn't have the parking. Newberry may be a different animal because it's already there. The highlight building is the one that is being expanded.
Right. Some area is providing parking.
Yes, so it could only be hooked to the sub-district, the highlight plan, just the one.
But I think in general, it is related.
It could be thrown, you could certainly throw it into all of them, too.
Yeah.
As you mentioned, that the highlight building, well, that's already in the works. There's paperwork out, plans are made.
They have not come to me yet, but I do know that every one of these plans, you see renderings. There were concepts that were submitted to to municipal staff here. So every one of these plans are based on something real. So I think that's a good thing, number one, is that we are seeing actual real interest in redeveloping sites in the community that could use some help, that could use some attention. And also bear in mind, any action you give here does not give a developer the right to build. We still have a site plan. We still have a whole site plan with engineers and architects who have to come in where you get to really pick at the plan. And I think you can use this concern about parking as part of site plan as well.
But when you tell the board, though, obviously the recommendation is going to be site plan goes through, that there is no parking requirement as part of the redevelopment plan.
Right, and that's your decision here. If you say, if you find that the highlight plan is consistent with the master plan as it's written now, it has no parking. So if you don't like that, if you're okay with the qualifier that the board encourages parking, then you should vote yes. But if you're having trouble with the parking, then you should vote no.
Yeah, I mean, because right now, an applicant, obviously, if this, what you're saying, if this, these plans are adopted, designated redevelopment zones, there'll be no requirement for parking in those zones. So ultimately, the board would have really no say over whether or not someone has adequate parking, because the argument against that would be, well, there's no parking requirement, so whatever we're offering you is what we're offering.
We can't go back on that, is what you're saying. Once it's done, it's
correct. I mean, you couldn't deny an application for not having adequate parking when there's no parking. You could deny it, but it would be appealed and you'd be over
there. A qualified affirmative vote may get the governing body's attention, or they could just say, well, they just said it's okay, so we're going to ignore the qualifier, the recommendation. They could. But either way, I think it should go in there for sure. And if you're inclined to find it's not consistent for that reason and that you'd like to see parking here, I think that weighs into your vote as well.
And again, you're not approving or denying it. You're basically just saying, what is the letter to the governing body going to say? Is it going to say they found it consistent with the master plan? Or will it say, obviously, a denial vote would be the letter saying we found it to be inconsistent with the master plan for the fact that it lacked adequate parking, which is required under the master plan.
Does the master plan now consist of parking?
I defer to...
Yeah, the master plan certainly has a broad recommendation that adequate parking be provided. So, yes, that is a policy goal.
But if we approve this as is, there's no requirement.
I'm saying no. We need parking.
You're not approving it or denying it. Basically, you're saying,
right. Only the governing body gets to adopt it as ordinance.
I think it's consistent, in my opinion, because first of all, like the Newberry building itself currently has no parking requirement. Okay. So and would not have a parking requirement going forward. The existing buildings that are already there in Plan B does not have parking currently.
Right, and again, I'm saying parking maybe not on-site, but maybe you need to provide one space per unit, 0.5 per unit, whatever the number is, somewhere within reasonable walking distance.
That's where the qualifier comes.
Right.
And then the Plan A, the largest one, does have parking, but so I think it's, in my opinion, it's consistent.
I'm of the opinion that if it doesn't mandate parking, absolutely, it's a no. Because if you, if you're going to give them,
yes or no, you're saying whether you're finding.
You mean it's not consistent?
I don't think
with
it's consistent. That's what I mean. I don't think it's got to be part of it. I mean, because if you're not putting pressure on as of now, what's to say? Okay, so they're going to study into it. So what happens after they study? They say no parking.
Well, let me ask you a question.
Does
that zone require parking as part of the ordinance currently?
Yeah, I'll check that. Maybe we take a little break. I'll check that.
I think that's what we're getting to determine, because if there's no parking required as it exists today, and the master plan never called for there to be parking in that area.
Yeah, but now you're expanding.
But again, you're asking if it's consistent with the way the ordinance is drafted today. So if it's consistent, you don't get to make the determination whether you like fact that it has an apartment. The idea is it consistent with what exists in the master plan today?
The only thing to think about, although, with that is that if you leave the building as is, I don't know that the economics is there to rebuild that building without expanding into any additional units on it. So by getting additional units, it provides you with potential income that you could use now to actually do the renovations to fix that building up. Because if you don't add additional units onto that building, I don't know that it's economically feasible to redo that building in its current state.
Well,
and I think that's where the additional units would help to make this more of a viable project.
So question. Let's say the building is not rebuildable because it's structurally not sound, and then they're obligated to tear it down and then build. Then the garages can be built. Now, the parking won't be built if you try to rebuild what's there now.
Right.
But if it's condemned it's probably better to just knock it down, start from scratch, and then you can put in parking space.
Well, that would be
right?
A whole different plan.
Yeah.
That would be a completely different redevelopment plan.
That would be completely different. I don't disagree about that. Yeah. Like, if it had to be knocked down, that would be a different story.
And again, you're not redesigning
the
town right now. The governing body does that.
Mm-hmm.
The governing body right now drafted this plan and basically saying to you, your only job here is say, is it consistent with our master plan that's in place today? It's not a redesign. It's not, well, I have a better idea. Is this consistent? I mean, if you want to make that argument, you should probably appear at the next council meeting and, you know, as a citizen, bring that up, as a citizen and a member of the planning board,
mm-hmm.
bring up your concerns with the fact that you don't find the plan to be an adequate plan for the city going forward. But that's not what you're determining here tonight as a board member. As
mm-hmm.
a board member tonight, you're just determining whether it's consistent with what exists today.
Well, yeah, it's consistent with what's there today, but not what it's being proposed. Because that's kind of kind of deceptive. Because we know what's there today is not what's going to be there tomorrow. So that's why.
But that's your master plan.
That's deceptive.
I think, John said, we should probably take a quick break. So you can
I want to check to see what the current zoning says. If your downtown zoning says no parking is required, which I think is what it does say, but I don't want to mislead the board. I'll check.
When you say downtown, are you talking every one of these plans?
I know you have the sub-districts of the downtown. Yeah.
Newberry's to me is downtown.
Yeah. Yeah.
Where Bartle's family grew up.
Right.
It's probably not considered downtown because you're off on the side just a little bit.
No. I'll check. I'll give you more information so you can make an informed decision.
Well, I'll call it a recess.
I'll be back in 5 minutes.
5 minutes.
Yeah.
And I have a question. Before we approve this or not approve it, do we need to open it to the public?
At this point, no. If the public had anyone in say at this point, it should have been brought when this was being discussed and being read at the council, at the governing bodies and the council meeting. Again, this
5 minutes?
5 minutes.
Thank you.
Right back.